the messages on screen, the written audio of the information becomes available. This station will now see you on the
Welcome to the Casual Preppers Podcast. Here are your hosts, Cam and Kobe.
Hello, this is Cam, and this is episode 9 of...
I just like how you said who your name was. Hi, hello, this is Cam.
Hey, it's Cam.
Yeah, we're at episode 9.
Sorry we've been gone so
long. Yeah, it's been a while, and we apologize.
But we're back on track.
We'd rather be here doing this than doing what we were doing.
Yeah, that was a rough week. For you, yeah, you were at the fair forever.
I was doing some video production all over the place, and then my grandpa died, and so it has been a long two weeks, but we're back. Yeah, thanks for bringing that up, Cam.
Yeah.
But we're back.
All right. What is this episode?
9.
And what has it got to give?
We're going
to
talk about prepper groups, and this we've had like a few requests, several, more than 2 or 3 or 4 or 5. There's been a lot.
Multiple.
People want to have this info. This is probably the hardest episode I've had to prep for.
This was a hard one.
It's really difficult because, I don't know.
Yeah, groups are hard.
We're going to get into it, but not right now. So today we're going to talk about prepper groups. We've also got Mad World, as always. Cam's brought us a quick and dirty medical tip.
Yeah.
We've got a couple of boxes to review, some subscription boxes. We've got Battle Box Mission 18, the fishing box, which is pretty cool. And then we got, a few weeks ago, we got the Never Enough Tactical Supply Drop, which was awesome. So, Cam's texting his wife or something right now.
No, but, I'm not.
You're not?
No.
Are you making notes?
Yes.
Okay, you're making notes. That's good.
I'm clarifying.
Okay. Yeah. Good. So, but guys, today's podcast is brought to you by TacPack, the only monthly tactical subscription box with useful professional grade stuff inside. Get 10% off your first TacPack with code CASUALPREPPERS at TacPack.com. Guys, seriously, if you like what we're doing and you want to help us out, this is a really, really good way to help us out. Go to TacPack.com, order one of these things. You're not going to be disappointed.
No, you won't. You really won't.
You won't be. This is the creme de la creme of the subscription boxes. Mm. Yeah, no, that sounds good.
Creme.
Huh? Creme de la creme. But it's really good stuff. It's got awesome tactical stuff, and you're not going to be disappointed.
So no, you won't. You won't.
Go do it. TacPack.com, use code CASUALPREPPERS. All right, 10% off.
That's us.
Ridiculous, man. Ridiculous. So, Cam, let's go. Let's kind of move on with the here podcast, shall we?
Let's move it.
It's a mad world.
Almost forgot how to do this podcast. It's been a while.
I know, seriously.
Do you want to go first?
Sure.
Okay, go ahead.
Mine's just simple. Well, it's not simple. It's pretty crappy.
Yeah.
Mine has to do with fires all the time.
You're a pyro, man.
I know. So just because of where we live, I'm terrified for a fire all the time.
Are you really?
Yeah. Because, I mean, boom, everything in your house, everything you've been storing, you know,
it's could gone.
Be gone. Boom. Bam.
Yeah.
But, yeah. 80,000 homes have been evacuated.
80,000 homes or 80,000 people?
People, sorry.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's still a lot.
Yeah. And, it's burned multiple homes, and that stuff can just travel so fast and screw over a ton of people.
It really
super
can.
Fast. And then the aftermath after it, you know.
You I think they were going to name
mudslides.
They were going to name this Fire Hillary. That's what I heard.
Yeah.
I just made that up right now.
That's a good joke. Good joke when people are losing their homes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. That's a serious issue.
So, yeah.
That's all you got?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Fireproof your storage.
Okay. What was that now?
Fireproof your storage.
Yeah. So just be careful, guys. Fires are bad. Mine is about the Milwaukee riots. Have you seen any of this going on, Cam?
A little bit.
So, there was a 23-year-old black dude that was killed by police.
Yep.
So, of course, Black Lives Matter is out in force rioting. But did you know, Cameron, that the cop was black?
Really?
The cop that killed him was black.
Really?
Yeah. So apparently this black guy was racist. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. But it's been crazy stuff going on. They just started randomly shooting bullets in the neighborhoods. They set a bank on fire. Obviously, there's Black Lives protesters everywhere. The National Guard got activated. And there's all these buildings on fire. This is just insane. This is just another reason to have some preps. And ready to go, because this happens in your neighborhood, in your town. You don't want to have to go to town when this is going on. I can't even talk right now.
I know, me either.
We were doing those voices beforehand, and I think that hurts. Yeah, we were kind of toying with the idea of doing different voices for the entire podcast.
Somebody has a good system in their car.
I know. But we decided against. Anyways, yeah. Guys, this stuff can happen. It's happening all the time now. These riots and protests and
the world's falling apart.
The world's falling apart. So you guys this need to be prepped. Your chair's falling apart.
It is.
I apologize.
Yeah.
So, anyways, that's the Mad Mad World. That's what we got this week.
All right.
So, should we get into it?
Let's do it.
Okay. Prepper group.
The end.
The end. That was really good.
Good luck.
Yeah, this is really a really tough one to do.
It is, because so many opinions.
Yeah, there is.
So many styles,
mm-hmm.
So many risks, so many benefits.
Yeah.
It's just...
So we're kind of just going to have a discussion about it kind of today, talk about it. We've had a few questions that have come in, and I don't even know if I can answer them.
You better.
I'm going to try, but it's really hard.
I know. Yeah. Hopefully, somebody gets something to take home from this.
Yeah. I'm just gonna start out.
Do it.
Should I join a prepper group? Should you join a prepper group?
I think so.
Do you? I have mixed feelings about it. You know, obviously, self-sufficiency is super important.
Depends on what you mean as a group.
It does, yes. And that's what we're gonna go over today.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. Self-sufficiency is super important because, you know, we all know that it's basically impossible to know everything, to have every skill to survive forever. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It just is. So having a network and a group of friends, it really is something that you just have to do in some way, shape, or form.
Right.
You know, when you're in a group, it sort of offers protection because, you know, you have a collective pool of skills, food, gear. You guys can take different watches. You know, there's a lot of different things that are...
Like Rolex, maybe a Casio.
I'm going to ignore you right now. This question, I don't even know if I've really answered what I was supposed to do here. This is just like random stuff I have written down. So there are different types of groups. You know, there's groups where you can just kind of get online and you guys talk about prepping and, you know, you talk about ideas. And I think that's always good to bounce ideas off people, right?
Oh, yeah, I definitely
think so too. Or is it one that you actually get together, you know, in person once a month or once a week and you learn skills and you prep or, you know, you go over... different plans and things like that, you know.
Yeah.
Or is it close family and friends where you're always in contact with and you're always going over those types of things, right? So ultimately, obviously, it's up to you what you want to do. I don't know if I should give my opinion yet, but...
No, don't.
Don't? I kind of want to.
No, go ahead.
Really, in my opinion, I think a small... tight group of people is what's necessary. I don't really like the 10 to 15 person prepper group. And maybe mine almost is kind of that, but
how close are those members?
Yeah.
Are they family?
Really? Well, some of them.
So yeah, see, that makes difference.
So when I look at my group, basically it consists of my immediate family here, obviously my wife, my kids, my dad, my grandpa, maybe some uncles and you. You know, I mean, that, yeah, I've put you in there. I've penciled you in.
House cleaner, cooker.
Yeah. No, I'm not going to make you do anything other than keep us alive. That's all you have to do. Medic, first aid skills and medicine. That's all you have to do.
Just down here brewing up medicine.
Yeah. It's all you're just like a little alchemist in the basement. So, I don't think I answered that at all. Should I join a prepper group? But that's what I had written down under that.
I
don't know. I think yes. I mean, that's what I say, yes, but it depends on what you want to do.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, my opinion is the lone wolf, so screw you all.
Well,
even my family, I'm going to kick out.
Whatever, man.
No, I think you need to have a group, but it does need to be small. Mm-hmm. I agree with you completely that you do not want a big group. And I have my reasons.
Do you?
I have them written down.
Nice.
But like... You know, why don't I just go into it?
Go ahead, yeah, go right into
it. So some of the disadvantages to a group. Well, first of all, I think you need to have, like, what are your goals? Why do you want to even have a group? Like, what are the needs that you feel need to be met for you, you know? Do you, like,
when something happens,
right?
What are those skills that you can't provide or what are those things that you can't do?
Yeah,
right.
And why would bringing somebody else on that, you know, it's another mouth to feed.
Yeah.
And, you know, they could potentially lose their mind and try and kill everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, there's risks. So what are your goals and why? So I was just saying that the disadvantages to forming a group, complacent members. Yeah. So even when you're starting to prep and get things together, I mean, how much is somebody contributing to that and discussing and being involved? I mean, yeah. right away you may know that person, I got to get rid of them because yeah. They're just going to be horribly, you're going to have to be taking care of them. Failure to let go, somebody that can't let go of what used to be, you know, before, you know, things started to go south. You know, they still want to live in that life that's gone now. That's hard to determine.
Well, that's
going to
be a lot
to,
of people, honestly.
It is. I mean, it really is. I don't think, you know, none of us know exactly what disaster could or may happen. You know, if it's an EMP and it's just going to be devastating. And
and obviously.
I think there's some people you can tell, though, that I just don't think that they can detach themselves from modern civilization. You know?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And there's some people that can't wait. They're like, I cannot wait until a nuke kills everyone.
They're praying for zombies.
I'm by myself.
You know?
Yeah. So laziness is another, you know, you're going to bring somebody on that's just not going to pull their weight and it's just going to be a nightmare for you.
Yeah. You know, it all sounds awesome and fun and like, oh yeah, I'm going to do all that. And then once you get doing it, it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
I mean,
and you don't want to be that person that's, you know. And that was the other thing is a power struggle and control and leadership.
Yeah.
That's going to happen. Mm-hmm. You're going to have people that are going to be motivated and people that aren't going to be motivated, and somebody's going to have to take lead and somebody's not going to like that person that's taking lead.
You know, I think that's some of my reasoning for keeping that group small and to those close-knit people, because it's people that you live with all the time that you know the dynamics of your relationship already. You know what I mean? You guys are always together. I mean, not always, but very frequently. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And with people you maybe only see once a month or you talk to online, you have no idea.
You really don't.
You have no idea.
And they could just, And I mean, I say this too, because the difficult thing is, you know, I come from a big family and, you know, I have a lot of brothers and sisters and I want everything to be safe for them and take care of them. But there are family members, there are brothers and sisters that I could not do it with.
Yeah.
I would lose my mind.
Exactly.
Like one would be total red personality, we've got to organize this way and blah blah blah, and I would probably end up killing him.
Yeah, and you don't want murder's bad.
Yeah,
and it's not going to help anything.
Yeah, but like seriously, there, that's the hard thing is you do have close friends and close family that you probably don't want that close and living with you.
Yeah.
And then on the opposite of the laziness, you have the extremist.
Yeah,
you know, you have that person that's like, for example, my wife went to this little food prep thing of how to store for, you know.
Like last year.
And that kid was a nut.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's like, like my wife, or I don't think it was her, or one of them had asked, you know, what if there's people that come? He's like, I will kill them if they come. I'm like, goodness. It's like.
Yeah. You don't resort.
He's just
right
a freaking nut.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. You know, I understand you have a family and I understand you've saved up all this stuff. I mean, this is a person that's brewing up their own deodorant down in the basement with coconut oil.
He actually is.
I know.
That's it. That dude's
so you got that extremist. I couldn't live with a person like that.
It's funny because that guy too, he's, you know, they were talking about food storage and, you know, getting used to it. That's all he eats is that food.
He rotates it in and out.
He doesn't eat anything else.
So yeah, he's an extremist.
Which is casual preppers. Yeah,
we don't support that.
We don't do that.
If you do that and you can function that way, it's totally cool. But
I just think, you know what I mean? I just think
that's not a person I could do in my
group.
We're
doing this just in case. This may not ever happen.
Right.
None of this stuff. So you have to still live your life in a normal fashion somewhat.
Yeah.
Right.
Like this person, once it all goes down, he's just going to go right back into his normal life that he's been living already.
Exactly.
So those are some, you know, arguments as to what are the, you know, the drawbacks to actually having a group or creating too big of a group, you know. And I, you know, you got to think about all those things. People don't do well together. They honestly don't.
No, it's hard. Sometimes it's
especially under a massive amount of stress and loss. It's going to be bad.
Yeah, no, there's no kidding. I mean, when there's no food, stuff just gets nuts.
Yeah.
You know, as
people
we've seen.
Biting people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, exactly.
Yeah. So are you good with that one then?
Yep.
Okay. So I'm going to go into a different section here. What types of people should I look for, and what types of skills does a cohesive group need, right? Like to be well-rounded, to be able to make it through whatever you need to, what kind of skills do you have to have? And, you know, this is a little redundant because we actually went through this in a couple episodes ago. Which one was it? Do you remember? Yeah, I don't remember. Maybe like it was prepper mistakes, I think, is what it was. One of those.
Yeah.
But I'm just going to go through these types of people and these skills that we need to make it. So you kind of have to think about it. You know, do I have to have a group? Because if I'm missing one of these things and it's a long-term SHTF situation, I need this to survive, yeah. basically. So the first one.
Of all.
First of all, what? What?
Somebody that has a large storage of toilet paper.
Oh, that's right.
Yes. Number one.
Yeah, the toilet paper. So the first one is a Charmin executive.
Yeah, no kidding.
Access to that plant, I'm telling you right now.
I'm going to be turning it up in there.
Yeah. I don't care if no shit hits your fan. I got toilet paper for like ever. I don't think I'm ever going to let go of this toilet paper thing.
I'm not.
I don't think you are either.
Nope. You got a problem with it, son.
Yeah, I do. So the first type of person you kind of already hit on this was a leader, you know, and hopefully that's you. Hopefully you're the guy that's out there, you know.
Yeah.
You may not
be. I think everybody needs to possess some leadership skills.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean you're barking out commands and you're a construction manager.
Yeah,
if you're a construction manager, that's fine. But you know what I mean? Like those guys that are just,
yeah,
I need to control all and you do everything and I'll just sit here and be El Capitan.
So you need to have somebody, I mean, it really, in a group like that, it's good to have somebody who's a clear leader to make things run as they should. And everybody should respect that person and that person should respect everybody else, you know. So it's good to have some leadership. the second type of person, which is really important, is a medic of some sort, a medic or doctor. And that's the only reason I've got you in
a medic would be nice because they both got some marksmanship skills.
Yeah.
And.
Exactly. So. But that's the only reason you're in my group, just so you know.
I know.
so this person obviously needs to have medical knowledge, medicine, first aid, because that's going to be... What, dude, what's wrong?
This chair, I can't.
I told you to change
Let's
chairs.
Let's start over.
I told you to change chairs.
I can't sit on this.
Oh my gosh.
Your back keeps
falling off. You're out of my group. I can't deal with you, seriously.
I need a chair specialist.
Yeah. So a medic, obviously it's obvious everybody has to have a medic in their group because people are going to get hurt and people are going to get sick.
Nurse, doctor,
yes,
physician,
PA, whatever. Okay, so
helicopter pilot, medic.
Yeah, well, no, that
helicopter.
Wait, yeah,
a flight nurse is what I'm trying to say.
Oh, is that what you're saying? Okay. Yeah. So then you have to have that soldier type military person.
Yeah, you do.
You know,
combat specialists.
Yeah, they got to have, you know, firearm skills, combat, you know, recon, security, all that kind of stuff is always good in every SHTF situation.
Okay? I agree.
Okay, good. I'm glad you're agreeing with me today.
Speaking of, I read some stuff that, now there's nothing against these people at all, but like some of these specialists may not be the best choice.
Yeah.
I kind of feel bad saying it.
Do you?
But like an active military person is probably not going to stick around.
Yeah, they may not.
They may not.
They may have places to go.
A policeman may not be able to stick around because they're going to be dealing with all the other BS.
That's right.
Down in the city and down in the town. A fireman. You know, mm-hmm. I would include him in my group, but
yeah.
Do not rely on,
because
they may be dedicated to.
You're saying maybe an ex-military, ex-police.
Exactly.
Somebody that has those types of skills.
And it's, I would love to have a policeman, a fireman, and, mm-hmm. you know, they all have such, you know, great skills that would be useful, but they're probably going to be trying to help.
Yeah, and especially
a lot of the chaos in town.
Depending on the situation.
Whatever, yeah.
If it's a natural disaster, obviously they're gone. They're going to be, if they're National Guard, if they're whatever they are.
Yep.
If they're police, they're gone. But if it's, obviously it's a longer.
So you just have to kind of look into that.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's
they do have this skill, but how available are they going to be during crisis?
You know? Absolutely. That's really good. The next one is a farmer of some sort, somebody that knows how to grow stuff, you know, even if it's a gardener, I mean, somebody who can grow a garden. Farmers are obviously better because they have a little more extensive knowledge.
Beat the
knowledge.
Piss out of and swear at animals, like my dad.
Yeah, absolutely.
Essential.
Your dad's awesome. I don't care what you say.
He's a milkman.
He's a milkman.
Dairy man.
He's a funny dude. But yeah, so farming, gardening, animals, you know, they need somebody that knows that kind of
some husbandry.
Yeah, somebody knows
how to really
raise horses or cows or whatever it is. because you're going to need them.
I'm telling you, those freaking farmers, man. My dad, I swear he knows every skill.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he can fix anything.
Exactly.
He's an electrician. He's a plumber. He's crazy.
They do it all themselves,
they
man.
They do.
Yeah.
Thinks he's a vet. You know.
Yeah. Hey, give him this antibiotic.
Pretty scary. Oh, just sutured up some baling twine.
Yeah, seriously. The next kind of person is a hunter. Somebody who can hunt, track, and fish. Who knows how to field dress an animal, has knowledge of the area and where to hunt.
Firearms,
yeah, all those kind of weapons.
Marksman, yeah, the hunter, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, because you're going to need to hunt for food, right?
And you're touching on a lot of the, you know, ways to find people to start forming a group.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
If you're going out hunting with somebody, that's a perfect person to kind of get the feel of.
And obviously, it's a good person to learn from. You should try and learn as much as you can. If they're in your group, they should be teaching. You should be teaching.
Yeah.
Yep. Right. But to have someone like that in your group that, you know, because you're going to want to split off and do the things that you're all experts and good at.
Yep.
And if you have somebody who's a hunter and that's what they do, you know, I mean, if I in my group, I want to send my dad out, he's going to go kill the animals.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, the next kind of person is a handyman. This is, like I said before in the other episode, you need MacGyver.
You do.
And maybe that's your dad, you know what I mean?
Partly
and
farmer, yeah, probably.
They need to have some sort of mechanic skills, carpentry, electrical. They just need to be a jack of all trades, you know what I mean?
Because
stuff is going to break. You're going to need to build stuff. And this is kind of, my dad's kind of in this same vein too, because, I mean, he was a construction worker. I mean, he built houses for 20 years too.
Yeah.
He knows, you know what I mean? So that kind of stuff is just all good to know.
Yeah.
So that's what I have for the skills. I mean, that's a pretty well-rounded, unless you can think of something else.
No, I think that's good.
Is that it?
Yeah, you've covered a lot of the...
So you don't think like video production or anything like that's really needed?
I don't really, haven't even considered it.
You haven't? Okay. All right, well, let's move on then. I'm screwed. That's all I'm saying. I'm screwed.
You got skills, son.
I got some skills. I can run fast. I can run like the wind.
I want to try out after this podcast to show me why you should be in my group.
Okay. All right.
So, what are the beneficios? What are the benefits?
What are the benefits?
I'm going to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, what are the benefits?
History has always shown, you know, that, you know.
What the hell are you doing? Can you let us know what this info is?
Yes, I'm trying to. No, but like, history has always shown like a force of togetherness, you know, has like, you know.
Oh my hell. Are we talking Star Wars? I don't know what we're even talking about right now.
Anybody that has the force can dominate everything. I know.
I'm so confused.
That was a bad pull.
Should we just switch subjects right now?
Yeah.
You just want to talk about football? It's starting this week.
Yeah. What I was getting at.
The Bears suck.
Is somebody... I know. Shut up. Have the Bengals even played yet?
I don't know. I haven't even seen.
Freaking Bengals. A lone wolf. Like,
yeah.
Pretty much everybody out there. I mean, most preppers, most... are planning on being a lone wolf.
Yeah.
And I don't blame them. I mean, that's probably the easier thing to really have to deal with.
Yeah, and I guess it depends on your situation, because I can't be a lone wolf because I have my family, obviously.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
I have a built-in group.
Right.
So do you. Well, unless you abandon them, which...
Well, I'm planning on it.
It is possible.
So we're going to screen this one from Alec. But yeah, no, what I was getting at, okay... Before you turned into a total butthole.
I've been just butthole for a while.
A united force is stronger, like a group, a unity in getting a lot more accomplished, you know, because you're going to, like we talked about the last episode of scavenging, you just can't do that by yourself.
You can't, but you're probably going to die or something.
And if you get injured, there's a lot of benefits to having a group. So, some of the major benefits is, you know, a lot better protection, guarding the place, guarding your supplies while you're away, because you're going to have to go out, search for things, and you know, maybe transport somebody that's sick or, yeah. You've got skills that can be taught and shared,
mm-hmm.
you know. emotional support. really though, like emotional support is a big one. Sorry, my stuff's scattered all over.
Yeah.
And that's not a funny one. That's true.
That's true.
You need emotional
emotions
support.
Are real. Respect them.
And then you will know how to like use the. You're going to have to include people into your group probably, or kill them.
Well, yeah.
People that don't have anywhere to go.
Yeah, yeah.
People that, like, if you've already developed a way of kind of screening people and seeing how they do things, and if you want that person in your group, if you're doing it now, like developing a group, and had a little stroke there, you've already kind of got that pattern down of, you know, what's this person's skill and, you know, what risks am I taking with them? Like, I think adding people is going to be a lot easier and a lot safer for you to do it if you've already started developing a group. So
yeah, exactly.
There's a lot of benefits, okay?
Absolutely.
I'm not going through them.
That's what we're here to do, actually.
I know. But, I mean, common sense of why a group could be easier. You know, you're going to be compiling supplies together, defending each other, emotionally supporting each other.
Well, you got someone to talk to.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, morale.
You know, when you're pissing in bottles in the basement.
Yeah.
You need somebody to talk about.
Yeah. You got to have someone to play swords with.
You
got to
gossip. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
Okay. Very good. So
was it? Not really.
It was all right. So we got a question from Jacqueline. She sent us an email. I don't know if you, did you see it? Your name? Cam. I almost called you Randy. That was weird.
Yeah, that is weird.
Why would I call you Randy?
Freaking weirdo.
Yeah.
Definitely out of the group. So, can't even remember my name.
Randy. So Jacqueline sent us an email not too long ago.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah. So what basically her premise was, how do I trust someone enough to let them in my group? And, you know, how much info should I give them? And this is the whole...
Yeah.
This is the crux of the whole argument. You know what I mean? You don't want to go out there and say, hey, I got like 15 years of food and I've got all this water. And I've, you know, you don't want to go tell people that, obviously, right. Because...
Yep.
It's just not good, right? It's just not good to give that stuff out. But it just really depends. She was talking about her, you know, her group is really small. She's got like her, what did I say? I wrote it down here somewhere. That's her husband, her sister-in-law, and her brother. You know, so it's just a few of them. But she says they're just not any help.
I'm sure.
They're just really not any help. So what she wants to do is branch out and get some people that really want to help. And she's, you know, how do I do that? What is the process of doing that? And really, I don't know. It's too hard to say.
I think there's,
go out here and do this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Cause I really have a distrust of people. I'm not going to trust anyone to say, come into my house. Let's talk about it.
No way. No way.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can't do that.
No.
What I think it has to be sort of a natural, friendship or somebody, you know, that you already have that you trust in, you know, in another capacity already.
Right.
Like I said, my suggestion is keep it small. And I know that she doesn't want to hear that, but I think she just needs to keep diligent.
So you're telling her to eliminate maybe two members from what she already has?
No, I'm saying keep those members. I mean, obviously keep her brother and her.
But she wants somebody more engaged.
Yeah, she does.
Helping.
And it's really hard. And I think maybe her best bet at this point is to go online and to make those friends, not really give out any information, because that's sort of something I have down here too. I would not go online and give people a lot of info. You know, say
no. I wouldn't.
Maybe
either.
Not even give them your real name. Just, you know, I just talk about stuff.
Right.
And I think maybe that'll be enough to get that info for you know. I just don't see.
I mean, I got a lot of stuff that I wrote. You know, when I was reading through, you know, tons of forums and different things and how people do things, and kind of what I got as a takeaway is, yes, you don't want to reveal to that person that you're like this hardcore prepper and that you have everything in your basement.
Yeah.
But, like, I think locally you need to look first.
Yeah, I agree.
To your community.
Someone's
not going to be at all harmful to communicate with somebody across the continent. That's probably pretty safe.
Yeah.
You know, but still don't give out a lot of information. But, too, like, within the community, you can, you know, do something simple like a social group of, you know, a prepper group that, you know, like, here in our town, we have, like, that stupid little... yard sale thing
Facebook.
On Facebook.
Yeah.
Just doing like a group like that.
Yeah.
Because then you can just talk
exactly.
to each other and you don't have to tell them. I mean, a lot of people suggested to, you know, don't even divulge that you are like this prepper that you're starting up. You know, I want to kind of get a group that's interested in these same things of being prepared for disaster.
Yeah.
And you really aren't giving anybody any information other than showing that you're interested. And I think that's going to kind of sort itself out if you maybe have a barbecue, we're having this barbecue, and then you can really see face to face and see how serious, how psychotic, and how down to earth somebody that you could, work with, and then private message them, I saw that you were interested in the group as well. Mm-hmm. Maybe we can get together and
just talk about it.
Yeah.
Or do whatever.
I think that advice I thought was pretty good for slowly kind of working your way into talking with somebody about it. And then I think you'll be able to tell, is this person just like hardcore and going to trap me in the basement?
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
Or is it going to be somebody that's interested and hasn't started up that I can, share some skills with and then we'll build on.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think locally for sure is probably one of the very best things to look at.
Yeah. And, I just keep working on those close family members, because I think you have to get them involved in some way.
Right.
Let them listen to our Mad Mad World updates.
Yeah.
That'll scare anybody into prepping.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just listen to that. Seriously. Like,
it's true though.
You just gotta, show them the reality of we need to be prepared, and maybe they're not going to be as hardcore as you, but they've got to be involved in some way.
Yeah. Yeah.
They just have to.
And then on that, just how to find some groups or members. Some of the things that I wrote down is, your neighbors.
Yeah.
People that and how they interact with the neighborhood and how involved they are and how, maybe they're very, they don't ever come out and, maybe they're like the Klopex.
If you get that reference, please let us know.
Yes.
Because
it's the best show ever. It is. Your church groups.
Yeah, I was actually just going to say that, because
like, there's great networks in church groups.
It really is. Most likely, if you're going to church with these people, you're somewhat like-minded.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I would think you could most likely trust somebody from your church.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that's a great group. NRA groups.
Yeah.
Yep. A lot of them are out to keep guns on us. And,
yeah.
And there's a lot of them that are awesome. And, a lot of the people that I know, through work that are members they're awesome guys. And
yeah.
I would trust most of them.
They're like-minded. You know what I mean?
Workshops like in town when people are doing like ham radio training.
Yeah.
Like those, that's a good area to kind of see.
Okay, in our
these
town,
people are obviously doing.
Yeah. Our emergency management does a thing every month at the library.
Oh, do they really?
They do. Yeah. Like this month it was like,
see, that would be an awesome place to just get to know.
Yeah.
Meet and get to know people.
Exactly. They were doing one on like, how to, what to do with your animals or your livestock when there's a disaster.
Oh, nice.
And they were just doing a workshop.
See,
on
that's
it.
Perfect.
Yeah. So you go to one of those things you just talk to people.
Yeah. And see where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
Craigslist, some people had mentioned. I don't know.
It's a little sketchy.
I know. But I think in terms of like striking up some conversation and kind of seeing if anybody, if you're really reaching out further than local community, local gun shop, pawn shop owners.
Yeah.
Some of those guys, they know a lot about the equipment they're selling.
Well,
the guns.
They know all the guys around and the girls around that are into that stuff too, because they're always coming in.
Right.
So,
and currency is probably going to be non-existent in a real bad. So they're going to be using their items for that. And if you're a good friend, you can defend. Plus you're going to have a lot of good stuff to deal with.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't see if there's anything. I think that's pretty much.
Well, you know what? I've been thinking about this. Another good group is people who listen to this podcast.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people who are listening, and I was actually thinking we ought to look to somehow get some sort of a forum on the website where people could just go and talk about these things.
No, I think
so. Maybe we'll look
good.
Into that. Maybe we look into that.
Yeah,
this
we can do that.
I'm pretty sure we can do that. Or even
well, it's true though. We've had so many people this comment. This podcast helps to see that you're not like just super hardcore about storing millions.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many comments we've had of people like, please, we love this podcast. And people were kind of scared that we were going to stop because we took 2 weeks.
No, and that's exactly what we want, because we're just average dudes that,
we're not experts.
Crappy jobs that we go to every day. And
we like to talk about the stuff. We like to be prepared, and we like the gear, and we, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's why we do this. But there's a lot of you out there. So, I mean, this is a good, obviously, you know, if they're listening to this podcast, they have the exact same mindset as you do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
They want to be prepared, but they're not psychotic about it. And
like emergency preparedness.
Yeah, exactly. So, we're going to try and get something like that, or come to our Facebook page, come to our Instagram page. There's all these people that are, you know, liking and commenting. Just talk to these guys. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And thanks again for that question, because it helps us to like, okay, we, you know.
Yeah.
It helps me to dig and be like, geez, yeah, how do I form a group? Because I think it's been a little convenient for us in terms of people we know. And so, yeah.
For a lot of people
in the city, it's going to be harder.
It is.
I don't know. I don't live in the city, but like, how do you, a lot of the forums said, you know, if you're from a small community, a community usually is going to try and take care of itself before.
And I think, you know,
we're pretty isolated.
Yeah. We're isolated and we're a small to medium sized town, you know,
very like minded.
Yeah. Everybody out here, I mean, it's like 90% Republican. It's 90%, you know, it's a lot of one religion. It's just like we're all just going to take care of each other. It's just how it's going to be. But that's not how it's going to be for a lot of people.
Like, hunting season starts this week, and I don't think anybody will be in town. Nobody's, the whole town will be empty.
Usually they just say everybody don't even come
in. Or you don't see them because they're all camouflaged.
Everybody's gone hunting. So. That's a good idea. So let's try and get a forum or something going on the website.
Yeah.
I think we could probably do that.
How many people have you killed?
Yeah.
Why? Do you have STDs? That was somebody's question on a forum.
Do you have STDs?
Do you have any current STDs?
Was that part of their...
What type of blood type? I would be freaked out if somebody's asking me that stuff.
Gosh, man.
Do you take any prescription medications? Are they narcotics? Well, you know, we need to put them in my...
Some of those questions I can see, you know, do you...
No, I do too.
Are you?
I can too, because, yeah, there's a lot of difficulty that comes with the person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we did get one more. We got another question from Frank. Frank the Tank sent us an email. And his was, what info should I give before SHTF, trying to get into a group, and then after?
Yeah.
That is... They're completely different situations.
It really is.
You know?
No, it is.
Because after, it's an unknown. You just don't know. Like, none of us know. Like, so my advice
Somebody's motive could be completely different.
Yeah, I mean, people do things they just normally wouldn't do, you know, in that situation. So this is why I think it's best to right now get that small, tight group and get it done.
Yeah,
I mean,
do too.
Just get it figured out. Make sure it's friends, make sure it's family, people you know. Or, like we said, go to these other places and meet people and befriend them, and then kind of just morph into some sort of a group that way. Because I wouldn't be giving out a lot of information after.
No.
Afterwards, no. I wouldn't tell anybody anything. Yeah. I really wouldn't.
Right.
So
I think your local community is a great place to start.
Yeah, exactly.
Apparently, your library will do some.
And then there's one more thing I was saying on this. In a group, the number one thing is, I don't care about their skills. I don't care about anything. You just have to trust them. I mean,
I totally agree.
Number one, I don't care if this person has 50 years worth of toilet paper and a backyard bunker. If I don't trust them, I don't give a crap.
Yeah, same.
You know, but if it's somebody I trust, I'm like, fine, just come in. You can help.
I look for certain personality traits.
Yeah.
Are they somebody that, you know, if I disagreed with them, they weren't going to want to kill me or kick me out of a group?
Yeah.
Like somebody, I see your side of that. You know, somebody that's open-minded.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you just got to, like, what are your goals and what kind of group members do you want?
Yeah.
And what do you want to ultimately deal with when you're all hunkered down in a basement or something, you know?
Yeah, somebody's going to rub you wrong.
There's going to be some crap.
If you don't like hanging out with them right now.
Somebody's going to rub you right.
Yeah. Do you have an STD?
Yeah.
Those questions are relevant.
Do you have any prescription meds that we can use?
The little blue pill. Yeah, I had a really good point, and now I've lost it.
Sorry.
I don't know what it
is. Blue pill got you.
Yeah, the blue pill got me. Thanks, guys. I think that's
hopefully we answered some questions. You can email us, and we'll try and get back.
Yeah, email us, because...
It's hard to cover everything.
It really is.
We try to cover
difficult.
Everything, like, generally.
Yeah, it's hard, and this subject is probably the hardest.
If you want to be a groupie, let us know.
This is, like, the hardest subject we've had so far.
This was a hard one.
Mm-hmm. So, Cameron...
Yeah. It's time for the quick and dirty medical tip.
That comes up.
It just like creeps up on you every single time, doesn't it?
It does. You had a better sound for it last time.
That was the exact same one.
That was?
Yeah. I haven't changed it.
Okay. Well, this one, this is kind of goes along with the battle box thing.
No, does it?
fish hook removal. You ever removed a fish hook from the skin?
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody has. And there's different ways to do it. But the three ways I wanted to talk about, the three different techniques were...
grip it and rip it.
Yeah, basically. The retrograde technique, the string yank technique.
Oh, that sounds bad.
I know. And the needle cover technique. So the first one, the retrograde technique is basically... You know, you've got the hook in there, and this is supposing you have just a single barb hook.
Yeah.
But it can work with ones that have multiple barbs. You actually will press down on the bigger part of the hook that's connected to the fish line.
Yeah.
You push it down towards you're not pushing the hook into your skin. You're pushing the hook in there kind of towards the bone.
Yeah.
And that's going to disengage the barb. And then, you're going to kind of just work it out, you know, that's one way.
Out.
Yeah.
That was a retrograde.
That's retrograde.
Okay.
It's the lowest success rate too. So
I'm glad you got that
one. You really don't have much. And if you have lidocaine, you're a happy man or a woman.
So carry your first aid kits.
Yeah. Cause you can numb that sucker up and then it'd be a lot easier.
Yeah.
But yeah, doing that kind of pushes the barb, disengages. You can work the barb out. The string yank technique is the most effective. So this one, you do this a similar thing, but you're actually going to tie the loop part of the hook,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to do about 2 to 3 feet. And you can do this yourself, or you have somebody else pull it. So they're going to have that opposite end of the fish line or string, and then you're going to press down on the hook, so you're disengaging the barb.
Yeah.
And then with one quick, swift tug, just rip it.
Seriously, isn't that going to rip your skin?
A little bit.
Oh my gosh.
But that's the quickest, fastest way to get it out.
Jeez.
So, yeah. And you can do it, with your opposite hand.
Yeah.
Just yank it right out. But you've got to disengage that barb, so you've got to push it down pretty deep. So it's going to be painful.
Lift it out, basically.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then the... actually, there's two, there's the one where you can kind of push the barb up and then clip the barb off and try.
Yeah.
And that one's, it takes a lot more work than it sounds to push that needle. I mean, it's pretty painful. So the other one was the needle cover. So if you're lucky enough to have like an injection needle, so you know how it's.
I always take one fishing.
Yeah.
Damn it, wife, I can't go. So I don't have my injection needle.
I know. Now listen to me here.
I'm listening,
but you
sorry.
Use like that cannula, the opening, and you use the beveled side. So you push it in. So that's why you're really going to want some lidocaine.
Yeah.
But if you follow the hook down, then you can use the beveled side and cover the hook barb. So basically when you pull it out, you've got the hook covered by that needle. So
yeah,
those are three ways.
So just
the yanking is the way to do it.
Just don't get a fish hook in you is what you're saying, right?
Yeah. The advancing cut was the other one I was talking about.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of advancing that needle
all the way through
and then clipping off.
Yeah. And then you pull it back. Yeah.
It just takes time and it's painful to push that needle through the tip of your, through the surface.
Yeah.
It's just so painful.
It has to come all the way. Yeah. Unless it's already all the way out.
So,
right.
If you really are daring enough, the most effective ways to do that, yank.
Yeah.
Yank that sugar. Yeah.
Jeez.
So, yeah.
That sounds fun.
Anyway.
So, Cam, let's go over that Never Enough Tactical box real quick. See, these guys, I think they're kind of new on the scene as far as the subscription box stuff goes. This is the first one we've gotten. I was impressed with what they sent. We got the advanced, I think it was called the advanced supply drop is what we got. And I'm trying to remember exactly how much they are. I have no idea. I can't remember how much they are. It's $100-something for the advanced supply drop. So in the basic kit, you got the USO stormproof match kit with the waterproof case. That's the thing I gave to you. Yeah, with those strikers. That thing is awesome.
I did like that.
Yeah, it's sweet to have in a bug out bag. And then they got the Kershaw injection 3.5-inch EDC knife, and I have that currently in my pocket. That thing is awesome. It's an awesome.
Like right now?
Yeah, someone want to see it?
So that was worth it.
I'm pull it out. I'm pull it out. Right there. That sucker right there. Have you played with it yet?
Yeah, I did like it.
It's pretty sweet.
I like the build.
Reach it. I've already broke the tip off of that damn thing, but because I was Never mind.
That pissed you off.
Yeah, it makes me so mad.
I have so many knives that I broke the tip off.
Yeah. So that thing is awesome. I'm really happy with that EDC knife. And then it came with a Kodiak.
I liked it.
It's a nice knife, isn't it?
I like the clip too.
Yeah. A 20-ounce tumbler. It's like it's something for your drinks. It keeps it cold and keeps it hot. Really cool little item in here because it's kind of different than a lot of other stuff we get, you know? And then we got the...
It was different.
Yeah. And then we got a Rats tourniquet. And some Instafire fire starting pouch. So that stuff's good. We've had that and we've used it several times. Stuff works really well. So the basic supply drop, the retail value is $115. And I can't remember the price. I wish I would have looked this up. I can't believe I didn't. But if you go to neverenoughtactical.com, you can get it all. So then in the advanced supply drop, there's the Olight S1 baton, a little EDC light. It's sweet. Have I showed you that yet?
You haven't showed me.
I took it out. It's really cool. I'm trying to remember what the, let's see, 110 meters it'll go, the light, 500 lumens. So the thing is legit.
Wow.
Yeah, it's legit. So it's a nice little EDC light. And then the last item was the Buck Packlight Skinner Stonewash knife. That's that little buck knife you got.
Cool. I took it.
You took it. It's a cool little knife,
I like
isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So we did actually do a review on the website, so you can go take a look at that.
Yeah.
You can see the picture of all the stuff, and it has all of that info in there, and it has the prices and everything. So
yeah.
That was really cool.
It's a bueno box.
Yeah, so we want to thank Never Enough Tactical for sending that stuff out. Those guys are cool guys.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
That's awesome.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good. It was a good box. Mm-hmm. On to Anesia Box.
Anesia Box, yeah.
So, Battle Box Mission 18. So, this one was the fishing box.
It was.
That's why I included removing hooks from your finger.
Yeah.
Because I did poke my finger with a hook the other day.
Did you really?
In that stupid box, yeah.
That was yesterday.
It wasn't a stupid box. It was an awesome box.
Well, actually, just so you guys know, we did do a video for Battle Box.
Yeah, that's right. We did.
With our other project, Basement Nation Outdoors. But I did put it on the website, so it's on the website
right
now.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Yep.
If you want to see what I look like.
Yep, if you want to see what Cam looks like. If you want to see a stupid face.
Yeah, see my stupid face.
Yeah.
So the basic package, $24.99. It comes with Walton's Thumb Fisherman's Multi-Tool.
Yeah, it's a cool little multi-tool.
It actually has a lot of stuff in it. Yeah, the doctor I work with, I showed him this package, and mm-hmm. he thought it was pretty cool.
Oh, nice.
Has a Rapala 6-inch fillet knife.
Oh, yeah, that
fillet
knife
one's sweet.
It's actually really,
it's like the perfect knife.
Yep, for really filleting. Nice little fillet knife.
And
that's not even the knife of the month. So
no, it isn't.
If you're in the knife of the month club, which is the highest battle box you get a knife, but that wasn't even it. So there's more knives.
So this is still the basic kit. Eagle Claw. The Ready Man Fisher survival card.
Yeah.
That one has like hooks on it and little blades and stuff.
Yep.
You know, you've seen those survival.
Everybody's
cards.
Seen those little Ready Man. That stuff's cool.
They are. They're awesome. Mm-hmm. The next one was the Eagle Claw USA. There was 20 classic gold hook pack.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I stuck my finger with, which was awesome.
Hooks.
They're sharp.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hooks.
And white mechanical auto fisher reel. There's two of them.
There's two of those
Times
things.
Two.
Yeah. Those are cool.
They are. They were tricky to get to
use. Yeah. Once you get them, though, they're cool. I put it in my bug out bag. It's already there. It's cool stuff.
So yeah, those are awesome. There's two of them. And
so what that does is, I'll explain those. You tie the one into like a tree or something, and then you throw the line in the water.
Yeah.
You know, bait.
You have to be pretty close to the water, I found.
But as soon as it gets a bite, it auto reels in. So your fish.
Yeah. So it pulls it out and then it disengages and starts
reeling
back.
So you can throw a couple of those in and then go off and do other things and come back.
That was pretty sweet. Cheap and very effective.
Mm-hmm. Like your mom.
Yeah. We're going to end this podcast. Okay. The advanced box has all that plus a 6-inch Cuban yo-yo hand fishing reel.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. We didn't really use that. But
we haven't really used it.
There
so
was
much.
A bunch of,
yeah. It's cool though.
A bunch of fishing.
Little hand reel.
On there. Yep. And then the 3.9-inch.
More knife.
That's how you say it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That one was, it's a scaler fishing.
Yeah. It's a fishing knife.
Comfort scaler.
You can scale, for...
So there's two knives, and that's not even...
That's not even the knife of the month
yet. That's not even the knife of the month. And they're knives I've used a ton. Like, they're such...
More knife?
Cheap and like...
They're inexpensive, but they're solid.
Not cheap,
dude.
The build quality is awesome for how much you pay for them. Okay, now to the Pro, which is all of that above, plus all the buck knife kinetic fishing spear.
Yes.
This thing's freaking lethal.
It is, but hey, we got to mention we are doing a giveaway with that.
Yeah, we are.
So go to Instagram.
$80 value.
Yeah. It's awesome, too.
So it's made by Buck, which their stuff's freaking amazing.
Always solid.
This sucker's mean.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Predator uses it.
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Like, I don't know what kind of fish people hunt with this thing.
I don't know.
I mean, I say hunt because they are literally, I mean.
You put it on the end
of it. It looks like something you would hunt a pig
or like a
boar.
Frog. It's like a frog sticker thing. So, but we are giving it away. We're giving one away. So if you go to Facebook and if you go to Instagram, you have about another week. We'll do it next week. We'll announce it on the next podcast next week.
Yeah.
The winner.
And this, I'm telling you, this thing's solid.
Yeah.
This is awesome to have.
Very cool.
You could probably use it on a robber.
Deer.
Seriously, it's massive.
Yeah.
Okay, and then for the Pro Plus box, which is $149.
The Knife of the Month Club.
This is where you get the Knife of the Month, which is the SOG Power Play with nylon sheath and hex bit set.
Yeah, it's an awesome multi-tool.
It is.
Awesome multi-tool.
I mean, it's probably one of the most complete multi-tools I've seen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And really, I mean, it's like a Leatherman, but a little more intense.
Yeah. Yep.
The hex bit thing was pretty ingenious the way they did
that.
That
was, yeah.
So you've got.
So, yeah, check that out. We've got the video up on the website. And
That was a good box.
On the Facebook page.
If you're a fisher, you would like it a lot.
You would.
It's pretty cool.
Is that all we got today, Cam?
That's it. Sorry.
That's all we have.
If you feel a little long-winded, but it's been a long time.
It has.
You need to hear our voices.
Yeah, you've missed us. I know you have. Mm-hmm. But anyways, guys, come see us on the website, casualpreppers.com. If you haven't, what are you doing? Like, seriously, like, what else you got to do?
Yeah.
And we want to get some reviews. We want to get some reviews on iTunes and Facebook. So while you're listening right now, I know you've got your phone or you have your computer. You have something. You have some sort of device with you right now. Take it out.
No, really,
right now, take it out.
Pause this podcast.
No, you don't even have to pause. Finish the podcast. Take it out and just give us a nice 5-star review.
Yeah, okay? We'd appreciate it a lot.
If you don't like the podcast, don't go do that.
Just email us and tell us why it sucks.
Yeah.
I would appreciate that, actually.
We'll fix the problems, guys.
Yeah.
Hell, we're not, we're reasonable.
We are.
Aren't we?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, thanks, guys, and we'll see you next week.
Goodbye.